Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I'd like to start with a word of prayer before we get into God's Word. How about that? Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for your love. And even more so, Father, the evidence of that love in sending your Son Jesus. And we just ask and pray, Father, and claim that promise where you have said where two or three are gathered together, you would be there in their midst. And we claim that promise right now, and we just ask and pray that we'll be changed people when we go outside these doors here today. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said? Amen. You know, one thing I love about the Scriptures is that, you know, when it says in Isaiah, when you study, you want to study line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Amen? And what you try to do is collect all the evidence that you basically can on any particular subject that you're studying, and that's how you study the Scriptures. Because sometimes you can find quite a few verses that seem to say one thing, and then all of a sudden you get that real zinger that seems to maybe not quite line up, you know, like the rest of the dominoes. And so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But, you know, God has told us, if any of us need wisdom in James 1:5, that we can have that wisdom. And wisdom means knowledge rightly applied. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. And so we can get that just by asking Him. So if you're really struggling with some scriptures, I'd like to just impress upon you to ask God to give you the answer, and He will. Now, sometimes we have to wait, and you've heard of that other scripture where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And sometimes we do have to wait, but when we find what we're looking for, it's like a jewel, it's like a gold mine that we come upon, and it's something that we'll never forget. It's something that we can apply into our lives, and it'll be part of us for the rest of our lives. Father, I'd like you to be with that situation that's happening with these sirens right now. Be with those folks that are driving to that. Protect them and watch over them. Give them wisdom and understanding. And wherever they're going, Father, we ask that they can minister under these people or peoples that they're helping. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Revelation chapter 12 is known as the Great Controversy chapter. Many of you that are Seventh-day Adventists or even students of prophecy recognize that. And in Revelation chapter 12, we find Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels. And we see that there's a great controversy. We realize that the Bible is not written, you know, and begins in Genesis and finishes in Revelation. It's not chronologically written. I mean, you'll find different parts of the Bible written in different areas. You'll find a lot of things that predate Genesis and actually Psalms. And obviously here you have this text in Revelation that tells about this great controversy. But have you ever wondered what the great controversy is all about? Because in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us that there's a great controversy, but it doesn't tell us what the great controversy is all about. And if we don't understand what it's about, and then there's another question, how does it involve us? Because that's the most important thing, because if we don't understand what's going on, how can we, you know, I guess take these different things and break them down and understand and be able to share them with other people? Now, the number one thing as we look through this, we need something that will explain the great controversy to us and to other people very simply, like a Reader's Digest version. And if you'll turn to the text that was read up here by just a little bit ago, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's spend just a couple of minutes here and take a peek at this. And maybe come to a little bit better understanding of what the great controversy is, what it's all about, and how does it involve us. And so we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse number 3. If you're there, say amen. Okay. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, right off the bat, folks, when we look at this, we notice that there's a small g there. Did you see that? Small g right there. That's not talking about our God. That's talking about the God of this world, who is Satan. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves for your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, when we look at this, I like to say that this is actually the Reader's Digest version of the Great Controversy. You know, you always see those abbreviated stories in Reader's Digest. It's not the whole great big book. You get just a synopsis of whatever that story is that's trying to be highlighted in the Reader's Digest. And here you have a synopsis, a brief synopsis of what the Great Controversy is all about. And it's very simple. And I know I've kind of shared this a little bit before, but I wanted to kind of reiterate this and then expand from this today. The Great Controversy is about God, who God is, okay? If you remember in John chapter 17 and verse number 3, it says, "And this is life eternal," this is Jesus speaking, "and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent," okay? So our salvation, our ticket to heaven is punched by having a knowledge or having an intimate relationship with God Himself. And the way that we get that is through Jesus. It's by understanding who Jesus is, we get an understanding of who God the Father is. In fact, Thomas actually asked Jesus a little bit earlier in John, he says, "Can you show us the Father?" And Jesus says, "Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father." So we can get a true idea of who the Father is. We can get a true idea of who God is just by looking at Jesus. And then as we look at 2 Corinthians, we kind of notice this fight that's going on. Number one, it's about light. Well, what's the opposite of light? Darkness. It only makes sense. And so if I'm looking out these windows over here, and let's just say that on the other side of the windows is a picture of God. A total understanding of who God is, I can get that just by looking out that window, that door. Now, on this side of the door or the window is where the great controversy is being fought. So on one side, you've got God over there, and through this light, he's projecting who he is. He's projecting his character to all the world. But on this side is where the controversy is being fought at. And you have Satan, who's trying to pull the blind down on the true character of God. He's trying to make it dark. Real simple, right? And Jesus is trying to pull the shade up. He's trying to let the light shine on the true character of God. Isn't that really simple? So, the great controversy is over the character of God. And the combatants in the great controversy are Christ and his followers and Satan and his followers. One is trying to share the true character of God. The other is trying to pull the shade down on your and my understanding of who God truly is. Now, in Psalm 34, verse number 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And so, brothers and sisters, those that are fighting on God's side are trying to, with Jesus, to be able to manifest the true character of God, are going to have fruit hanging in their life in which can be picked so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I want to ask you right now, real quick, do you have fruit in your life? Do you have the Spirit shining through your life? Do you have that light shining through that window? Do you have Jesus reaching through you, sharing that fruit with other people on a daily basis? If you do, that's what the great controversy is all about, and you're a combatant in that. And Satan's trying to shut that down any way, shape, or form that he possibly can. Can you say amen? That's what the controversy is all about. Is everybody with me with this great controversy now? You know what it's about, and you also understand who the players are and whose side that you're truly on. Now, some of us might have to stop and think. I mean, is the fruit that is being manifest in my life right at the moment, is that fruit where people are going to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good? Mary, it's a great question, isn't it? I mean, it's a great question for every one of us. Because when we wake up in the morning, that's when every day is different. But yet every day is the same from the standpoint that we're trying to pull that shade up so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. So that people can see that light. And that light is truly the light of life, and that's God living in us. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ lives in me. Once again, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not that George Corliss is good or Joy Corliss is good or anybody here is good. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. Because we're dead in Christ, but we're alive to the Spirit. Everybody with me so far? Now, folks, one of the things that has really become apparent to me, I've been in ministry for about 30-some years. And during ministry, I've done a lot of different things. I was a co-porter for about 7 years. I was a Bible worker for about 2 or 3 years. I worked in the health ministries for probably almost 20 years. I was a lay pastor for a number of years. And as you know right now, I work for Strong Tower Radio. One thing that has never changed in that 30-plus years of ministry is that the objective is always the same. It's never changed. It's always the same. And so me, myself, and I, when I get up in the morning, my objective is for people to taste and see that the Lord is good. When I get up in the morning and my family, the objective is that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. You with me? When I come to church as my church family, the objective hasn't changed. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. When I work for Strong Tower Radio, the objective doesn't change. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. It's always the same. It never changes. You're fighting along with God to be able to keep that, thank you, shade up in your life, in your family's life, in your church family's life, at work, at play, wherever you're at, the objective is always the same. Excuse me. We had a lady call in. It's been a couple, 2 or 3 months now. And she had called in for a free book. And the girls weren't able to answer the phone, and so I answered the phone. And I said, hi, this is George, and how can I help you? She says, I'm calling in for that free book that was just offered on the radio. And so I got the sheet, and I started filling it out and was talking to her a little bit. And I said, well, where do you live at? And she says, well, I live down south of Grand Rapids. And, you know, we just got our station going down in Grand Rapids just a short time ago. And she says, yeah, I've been listening. You guys must be a new station because it's something I hadn't been able to listen to before. And I explained that we had just got on the air a couple of months previous to that. And I said, what church do you go to? And she says, well, I go to the Covenant Christian Church down here. And she says, I've been going there. And then there's a big pregnant pause. And she says, but I'm a backslidden Adventist. And I thought, wow, Lord. That one just kind of slipped right into my lap there. And I'm saying, really, why do you say you're a backslidden Adventist? And she says, well, I haven't went to church in probably the last 10 or 15 years. And she says, I believe it's too late to go. She says, the different things that I've done in my life and the different things that are going on right now, she says, I can't go back. It's too late for me. And I shot up a quick prayer for guidance from the Lord and wisdom of what to say. And I told her, I says, you know, it's never too late. Probation isn't closed yet. You know, you still have opportunity to be able to come to know God. And she says, really? And we talk for, oh boy, it was probably 15, 20 minutes. And anyway, I had a word of prayer with her. And just before I hung up, I said, you know, I've got a couple of friends that live in the Grand Rapids area. I said, I'm sure they'd be more than willing to come by and have prayer with you, maybe just study with you, whatever that you'd like to do. And she says, you know, she says, I'd really, really like to do that. And so I got her phone number, and I says, they won't just stop over unannounced. You know, they'll call before they come. And so I hung up, I called up Bob Stewart. He's the pastor there at the Grand Rapids Church, at the Grand Rapids Central Church, and I kind of filled him in on what was going on. And the thing that was really interesting, apparently, he found out that he had a couple of his church members that actually knew this lady. Well, his wife is the Bible worker for the church. And so she went out there, called her before she came, and that very next Sabbath, this lady was in church, and she had actually invited a friend to come with her to church. Can you say amen? Amen. And about a month ago, she was just baptized. And so we're just really praising God. But folks, stop and think about the extension of your life in all of these different areas, okay? Personally, you've committed yourself to do one thing. Myself as a Christian, to basically be, you know, dead to the world, be dead to everything when it comes to those situations so God can reach through me so that the fruit is very apparent in my life so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because the great controversy is over the character of God. And he can certainly represent himself a lot better than I can represent him. I have to get out of the way. Remember, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so there's issues that are going on here. And so from my home, and then from my own personal devotions, from my home, my church family, and my work, all of those things need to extend out. And so when you look at Strong Tower Radio, have you ever noticed what the motto is of Strong Tower Radio? Where, what? God's character is proclaimed. That's what the great controversy is all about, and that's what we're trying to share with people, no matter if it's with music or if it's with kids programs or if it's with preaching or if it's with health programs or whatever it is. We try our best to get out of God's way and to be able to proclaim himself through each one of these different scenarios. It's real simple. It really and truly is. But the thing about it is that all of us need to be pulling on that same end of the rope when it comes to those things, especially when it comes to manifesting his true character. Brenda, that's the most important thing. We have to get out of the way and let him do that. It's his character that needs to be manifested. When Paul says, I die daily, it's a continued death, but it's something in which more and more and more of us is left in the dust. And more and more and more of him is left to shine, where that light can just, you know, brightly introduce people to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. And just like him, where God the Father has invited him to sit in his throne with him, he's inviting us to sit in that same throne with him on a daily basis, because all of us can actually live in the very atmosphere of heaven, even though we're living on earth right at this particular time. And we need to know and we need to understand that. Just a little while ago, and maybe you've seen it and heard some of the different things that were going on the radio, We had come across our studios are probably about the size of your library in there where you guys have that beautiful library in there. That's about the size of our studios that we currently work in. And it's pretty cramped. And when you got one radio station, you know, it's one thing. When you've got 11 of them, it's another thing. And a television station besides that. And now we got people coming out of our ears that are trying to help as volunteers and employees and this and that. And it's really a struggle just having the books. I mean, we're sending out hundreds and hundreds of books all the time, you know, with these free offers and stuff. And just having that go out, let alone all the other things. This building came up, and it was the Fox 32 business offices and their studios there in Cadillac. Beautiful, beautiful building. We had saw this as we drove by, that they had the for sale signs out there, but really hadn't paid attention to it. And all of a sudden, somebody mentioned that that was for sale. Well, they started that out at like $600,000 is what they wanted for that. Well, when we looked on the tax rolls, and I don't know all that stuff, that's kind of not my deal, but with the taxes and the other things that they were paying or something, the building was worth over $1 million and, you know, all these other things. And we went in there and took a tour, and it was just unbelievable. But the thing about it is that David Bolduc, who's the president of Strong Tower Radio, didn't tell us this, but he had had a dream about last Thanksgiving, and he saw these long hallways, and he saw these rooms, and he heard the people talking that they were selling this and they were moving across the road. And so all of a sudden he didn't know what it was about. And then when we went up there and took the tour of the building, here are these long hallways, and the company that bought Fox 32 is moving across the highway, across the road from that. And they've purchased another building. And it's just unbelievable some of the things that have happened with that. We prayed about it, and we decided that we wanted to move forward with that. We didn't have a nickel in our pocket, nothing. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this story, hopefully that will help your faith to be encouraged, because this is what the way that God works, okay? This is the way that God works. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles before I tell the rest of the story. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Now, you know, once again, consistency in a Christian's life, one of the biggest objectives of that to me is prayer. And if you're not consistent in your prayers, it's going to be a real struggle living your life in the days that we're living in. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, okay, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto men." Is that what that says? It says, let it be known to God, right? How many of us let it be known to the arm of flesh before we let it be known to the arm of God? I want you to really take a look at your life and ask yourself that question. You know, I was kind of thinking in my mind not too long ago how much money that we've raised to be able to purchase 11 radio stations and a television station and to keep them on the air for the last almost 8 years. And it's close to $5 million. We didn't start with a nickel in our pocket when we were going. Now, it doesn't do us any good, brothers and sisters, to appeal to the arm of flesh. The Bible tells me that God owns all the gold and silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen? So do I need to be asking you guys for funds, or do I need to be asking God for funds? I'll tell you, I think God's got a lot more money in his pocket than you do, Tony. Brenda, would you agree with that? And so, you know, when you're looking at these things, maybe one of the things we need to look at right off the bat is, do we realize, you know, who we're battling with, number one, but number two, who's the person that we're supposed to be in league with in all of this situation? Now, I love all my brothers and sisters, but when it comes to anything, we need to be going to God first, not to our brothers and sisters first. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so when we're looking at these things, when we're praying about this building, we're asking God, you know, we don't have any of this money. That's a lot of money. Is it a building, you know, that's frivolous, or is it something that's you can use, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you? Is it something that we can maintain? Is it something, you know, that can continue to grow as we continue to grow? And we got yes on all fronts. But once again, it ended up settling on a price of $466,000. That's a $500,000. And I know I didn't have a $500,000, or either did anybody on the board have a $500,000. But once again, my Bible tells me that God owns all the silver and gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And it's His work to begin with, amen? He's the one that wants us to share His true character. And so we're keeping that in mind as we're going through here. So we signed the contract. We've got 6 months to raise the funds. No problem, right? I mean, we had just raised $1.53 million to buy the Grand Rapids station, you know, just a few months prior to that. And this is only $500,000. This, you know, no problem. You know, you got this. You know something? The monies came in, but it seemed like they came in nickels and dimes and quarters. They didn't come in tens and twenties and fifties and hundreds. It just really, it came in, but God was kind of sharing a lesson with us. And that lesson was, be still and know that I'm God and you're not. This is my work. This is my character that you're talking about. The last day that we had to raise funds, we were $227,000 short. So, Tony, we're almost halfway there with one day to go. We had people, and especially pastors, didn't we, Joy? And this was always funny to me. They call and they ask, well, what are you going to do with the money if you don't raise it? How would you answer them, Brenda? Huh? I mean, these are coming in from pastors. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen to the money if you don't raise the $466,000. I don't know. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. Right? Amen? But George, you've raised like I said, uncharted territory. We're not going there. We're going to raise this. You got one day to go, and you've got to raise $227,000. So God just said that He was going to, you know, do these things. He was going to be hand in hand with us as we go. And He said He was going to raise the funds. He was going to do that. And time's not up yet. You ever wonder a lot of times, and I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you get impatient and you're always trying to hurry God up, but He always arrives right on time. You ever notice that? He always arrives right on time. Well, I got up that morning and Joy and I were praying, and I was really excited. I really believed that God was really going to work, you know, miracles. And I got a call early in the morning, and we had a person that had been praying, and God had impressed upon them. They had put some money away for their retirement, and they gave $50,000 that morning. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. And I hardly had even got done, you know, just kind of really being excited about that, when we had received another call. And actually, I had called them. I hadn't had an opportunity to get back to these folks that wanted me to call them back. And they said, we'd like to give $150,000 toward the project. And I'm just sitting there in disbelief. And you know, the thing about it is, though, is that all those nickels, dimes, and quarters that were given to begin with, you know, they mean just as much as these donations that we're getting right now, because without all of it added together, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. So we're $27,000 short. And so we continue to pray and we continue to pray, and all of a sudden somebody comes in or calls and they said, well, how much money do you still need? And we told them $27,000, and they said, come to our house and we'll write a check for it right now. So in less than 3 hours, God raised $227,000. Now, it seems impossible, a lot of these different things that we're trying to accomplish. I'm not just talking about Strong Tower Radio, but we as Christians, we as God's remnant church in these last days are trying to accomplish. It seems just, you know, too big. But I just want to ask you a question. How big is your God? Because that's the real question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves every morning when we get up. You know, we talked about 17 Bible studies. Is that what it was? Is that what a 17 Bible studies? Praise God. Praise the Lord. But what happens if there's 117 Bible studies come in? I mean, stop and think about it. I mean, you look at all these different Bible characters. I mean, I can't imagine going out and facing Goliath with a slingshot. How big was David's God to him? Do you see what's going on? To him, his God could do anything. And he wasn't being facetious. He realized what would happen. This church is in business of saving souls. That's what you're here for. If you're here for any other reason, you might as well close the doors right now. And I mean right now. And lock it and throw the key away. But how big is your God? Because there's an awful lot of seats here that are empty. I would think your God and my God should be able to fill those seeds. But let's back up a little bit. What is it all about? It's about the great controversy. What's the great controversy about? It's about the character of God. How big is your God? Can people taste and see that the Lord is good every day when they see you? Is the true character of God being reflected into their lives like a mirror each and every day? As you read the scriptures and they become more and more prevalent in your life? I'm sitting, I think, every single day about the listeners of Strong Tower Radio. You know, for a number of years, I was a co-porter. And co-porters go places that a lot of times, you know, the living preacher can't go. You know what I'm saying? He's up here in the pulpit. Co-porters go out and knock on doors in the highways and the byways and, you know, these different places like that. And they talk to people that might not necessarily ever even come to know the Lord. Now, let's take that to a little broader form. What about the radio station or the television station? Where is that going right now that the living preacher is not able to go? And it's preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, that's just the tool for us to be able to use so that people can taste and see that the Lord's good. If you've noticed here, there's a little theme that's going on here, and I hope it's being woven like a gold strand through the sermon. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That fruit needs to be hanging low in our life. What happens when people come through these doors in Midland? What do they hear? What do they see when they look at you and when they look at me? What are they tasting? Tony, what are they tasting when they see you and they talk to you? Brenda, how are they anticipating how you're going to treat them when you walk in, when they're scared to death coming for the very first time? I think of a guy back there by the name of Mark that was terrified when he walked in here the first time. But you guys became friends with him. And then you became friends with his wife. And now they bring their daughter or granddaughter. And there's other people that they're helping to see and understand what this great controversy is all about. But once again, and getting right down to the end of this, are you willing to make that sacrifice right now so that no matter what, that you'd even be willing to die for as a combatant in this great controversy between Christ and Satan over the character of God? How are you preparing yourself in the morning before you go out that door? How are you preparing your family to be able to meet God face to face? How important is this to you of where you're able to let that light shine through you so that people can see and understand how important God is to you personally? A God that loves you with an everlasting love and that'll never leave you nor forsake you even for a moment. What a treasure we have to be able to share. We have, you know, with the world, a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior. And he's coming a lot sooner than anyone that's sitting in here even believes. But the thing about it is, brothers and sisters, God is going to show that he is God. We just have to sometimes wait and allow him to manifest himself, not only to us, but to the entire city of Midland or wherever you live around here. And he's going to do that through us. I just want to be ready when that happens, each and every day, because we're meeting new people each and every day. We need to be praying for that, that God puts people into our lives that want to know him. One last story. Mark, I was talking to a gentleman down to camp meeting. He kind of reminded me of you, of how you were listening to the radio and how you just kind of kept taking mental notes and mental notes and mental notes. And then when you got home, you stayed out in the car while Mary was inside wondering what you were doing when you were listening to the radio out there. And then you started taking Amazing Facts Bible studies, and then you started doing this and that and some of the other things like that. Well, he's a truck driver. Listen to this, folks. Lives in Gaylord. He works for FedEx. At that time, we didn't have a radio station in the Gaylord area. But every day, weekdays, he would travel to the UP where there was a Strong Tower radio station. Now, Tony, he's up there and he's listening to Strong Tower Radio. On the way back, he even stops his FedEx tractor trailer there so he can finish listening to Joe Cruz on the way home. And finally, he just couldn't stand it anymore. And so the next Sabbath, he comes knocking on the door, and Gaylord kind of has a small church. He knocks on the door, and they said, can we help you? And he says, my name is Dennis. I live here in Gaylord. I've been listening to Strong Tower Radio, and I'd like to be baptized. Brothers and sisters, stop and think for a little bit. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Isn't that what it says? Now, he said that. I didn't. Now, he's talking about, obviously, if he's lifted up. Now, you could say that in a lot of different vernaculars, but I'm going to say if he's lifted up on the cross, I think is what he was mainly pointing to here. Right? God's character was manifested more fully at that point in Earth's history than in any other point. You with me? So, when God's character, when it is lifted up, it's going to draw all peoples unto him. This is a natural law, Mr. Mwemba, right? It's a natural law. if we manifest the true character of God, Todd, people are going to be drawn to him. That's a natural law. That's why Satan wants to pull the curtain down, because he knows it's a natural law. He knows they're going to be attracted. And God's entire plan for this entire world is that none should be lost and all should be saved. And so when you look at the radio, when you look at the television, keep backing up, because it starts on your knees in your home that morning before you take off. It does with me. It does with everybody else. And we're looking at, folks, God as being the father of the fatherless. All of those people that are listening out there really and truly don't realize that they have a Father in heaven that loves them with an everlasting love, and that he'll never leave them nor forsake them for a moment. They've never met him yet. You have the opportunity, and so do I, each and every day, to be able to introduce their Heavenly Father to them, maybe for the very first time. I want to do that. I don't know about you. And I don't care if you're 6 or 106, we all have the opportunity to do that. And time is short.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.